Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Have more work days on Saturdays. We had a large showing yesterday, and men all out here working, giving, and it shows up in worship. You realize that?
Exactly.
It shows up in worship. You know why? Because somebody committed their works unto the Lord. Brings established thoughts. Yes. Established thoughts, you know what they do? They worship the Creator. A lot of times people don't think it's important to be partakers, and they got more things, better things to do for themselves instead of for God. And then when they honor God, God brings blessings to them. Amen. I know it's not possible for all to make it, but there's some habitual violators never here to be partakers with the brotherhood. And the scriptures is very clear what the evidence of their life is and what it means and all the things they show, because they always got something better to do for themselves. Amen. I know we had men that weren't here yesterday out on church jobs and other things doing, and I commend them. I thank them, praise them for their labors and their efforts. But it's all a team. And you might have, you know, as a general in the army or a leader, you might have a crew or a team of soldiers over here, a platoon. You might have another one over here, but they're all after the same cause. And that's to support their country and the people. Amen. But I commend again the brethren. I'm thankful for them. We had a wonderful day. Got a lot accomplished yesterday. I tell you, it's a real true blessing. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be seated this morning. I know all the children are going to be going down for Sunday school this morning and making a little bit of a drive to get some Easter cards and thanks to the brethren in bonds, the ones in prison. And brethren, some of these men that we deal with have been cut off by everybody, everything, their families, their wives, their children. We're dealing with men that their wives have left them, their children have been put into somebody else's name, and they have order. They cannot even speak to their own children. Brother Melvin's an example of that. Had a beautiful little family and things, and certain things took place in his life that if it would have been me, I would have done the same thing, and I would have been incarcerated, brethren. What he done wasn't such a terrible, terrible thing, but in the eyes of the man today, they would just assume nobody ever used physical punishment on a child if the government had its way, and the liberal bunch of reprobates in our world, you know. And I could tell you this, I put some stripes on the hind end of my kids before. Are you proud of that? Yes, I am. Are you apologizing, Brother Rob? Absolutely not. I've wore them out before and they needed it. Amen. Government wants to get in. I don't believe in brutal punishment to a child, brother. I don't like to see parents using their hands or their fists or anything. And I've had all used on me as a kid. And I know what it was when you got thinking you was pretty manly to say something smart to your dad and he showed you how men deal with things. It wasn't like go to your room and bend over the bed. I never heard anything about that until I found myself laying flat on the floor thinking, I don't think this was a good idea. Amen. Some might disagree with that. But what I disagree with, I might not agree with his exact way of discipline. Maybe I don't agree with that. But what I disagree with more than that is a smart mouth and a kid and a parent walk away and let him get by with it. I'll tell you this right now, and we're going to go into some scriptures and read here. But I'm going to say this to the parents this morning that are still have children and families at home. And God have mercy on you. I hear too much reasoning with children. Children challenging their parents. Well, you know, I don't think we ought to do it this way. I think that, you know what? Like I said the other day from the sacred desk, if my son came to me or my daughter and said, hey, I'm staying all night with such and such tonight, I would have been fine with that. You know, it would have been fine. But just the simple fact they come told me what they was going to do, I say, no, I don't think so. And you say, well, I don't agree with your ways neither. Well, I sure don't like yours. When a kid's negotiating with a parent, we got some in our school trying to negotiate with the teachers. Well, you know, I'm going to do this first. You know, it doesn't matter what you want to do first. If the teacher says mathematics, and maybe the kid's way is better, but it shows rebellion against authority. And it shows up in the home. It shows up in the school. It shows up in their workplace. And you are guilty of creating a worthless sluggard. And somebody that's going to challenge and fight all the way through. Don't you talk about my kid that way. I'll talk about your kid every way. Because the kid isn't the problem. It's the mom and the dad that are creating it and allowing it to be. Moms and dads got to take their rightful place. Say, I'm molding this kid. You know, it'd be like the one that's creating. I think Pete, an artist, and I've watched him create things out of nothing and taking a hunk of cement and start molding it and shaping it into things or whatever. You know, you've seen guys with chainsaws, you know, making with big logs and carving out bears or whatever. But you know, that guy's starting to have to take something away. Taking something and remove something to get the beautiful image. Well, if you would look at your child as that diamond in the rough and know that it's going to take some cutting and some shaping and some molding, you know, forming to bring it into the beauty that it is. That's not the image responsibility that the creator is, the artist. The Bible referred to our Father as, you know, being on the potter's wheel. You know, molding and shaping us. We got to be pliable. But parents, remember what you're doing. We preached a message the other day that you're creators and you're creating your world. And when you don't like your world, you always want to blame it on the government, blame it on the economy, you know, blame it on whatever. And we're inexcusable, according to the Bible that I read. We're inexcusable. Brethren, who has bewitched you? You know, and you see one person that thinks that maybe it's an element in their body, or they think this and that, and well, I can't do this. You will never do anything because you limited yourself to the limitation. And I have no limitations in Christ. Amen. And he could help me and strengthen me and lead me and direct me and guide me. And when I don't know, he could bring me the knowing. When I ain't strong enough, he could bring me the strength. Amen. We're serving a mighty God. Don't forget how powerful and mighty our God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, with such a beautiful service this morning and started out, it seemed like exhortation came. But brethren, get in your place right with God where you could worship him and love him. Then you could hear his word. And I wasn't planning on coming up here speaking about some of the things I spoke about this morning. But that's what we are. We're led by the Spirit of God. And you know, you have an opportunity. Some of us, our children are gone. And we look back. They're raised. They're gone. We've imparted iniquities into them. Imparted minds into them. Imparted ways into them. Imparted good quality things and some negative things. But when we get our eyes open to a little bit brighter or a little bit sharper vision and we see, you know, the things that we missed. And I think, you know, when a man gets up into the 40s and sometimes some earlier, some children, but you know, they get glasses to help perfect their sight. Things start waxing dim. But there's a revelation in that also, a positive thing. Because a lot of times a man don't even see right until he gets around in his 40s. and starts perceiving. His strength starts maybe fading away from that 20-year-old. And all of a sudden, his mind that he thought was so keen, as he goes through the world with observation, he's thinking, you know what, I guess I'm not as keen as I thought I was. You know, it's a wonderful place for a man to come, because then he could start drawing and feeding. As I said to my father, sat out here on my porch when I was building a house over there, so it's been many years back, weeping before the Lord, crying, confessing to me, saying, son, I failed as a dad. I did what I loved to do. I loved aviation. And he said, I enjoyed every day getting up and going to work because it was what I loved to do. He flew all over the country, rubbed elbows with a lot of influential people. He had a doctor's appointment with the veterans, and they went and got some other doctors to bring him in to meet this man. He said, we don't got too many World War II vets left. They're all pretty much gone, so they were honoring him for that. And then the doctor knew Dad for many years, been the same doctor for him for several years. He started sharing about some of his years of aviation. They all come in. They made a celebrity out of the man. But then yet, I hear him crying out as a failed father. You know, maybe you'll be a celebrity to this world and some of your accomplishments, some of your great achievements in life. But if you don't have the praise of God and you can't stand before the Lord and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for directing me and guiding me. Moms and dads, you got one shot at it. And then they're going to be grown up and raised up. They're going to go on their way. And hopefully, it'll be like the Word says. They're not going to depart from the things that you've put into their heart and into their life. I had a mother come to me one time. She says, well, the Word of God says, raise them up in the way they go, and they shall not depart from it. And I had to correct her. I said, well, ma'am, you raised them up in front of television. Some of you parents here are going to stand before the Lord for allowing your children too much social media. They're reading slop, and there's minds in slop. There's a mind that's putting in, this is what we do. This is the way we dress. These are the kind of shoes we wear. This is the way we fix our hair. These are the kind of songs we sing. Brethren, sometimes people come here and they want this new age music in this church. And they ain't going to ever get here. I pray and hope not. And the day that you guys put another pastor in here and he allows it, I hope you put a match to this place and burn it to the ground. Amen. I would rather see it become a desolation like a place called Little Bethlehem. Amen. And be nothing here, nothing whatsoever. All these labors, they're not in vain now, because the labors yesterday, if it does not but get your heart in a condition that you could worship God, there was nothing in vain. If this place goes to naught just because of the simple fact that men are committing their works to the Lord and bring established thoughts. When I make a statement like that, Bethlehem hit its mark. It was a successful place. The ministry was a successful ministry. It had a place. It was a launching pad for world evangelism. It brought the gospel completely around this world in many languages. And I would never speak against the work of the Lord there. But what I'm saying is, if we depart from what the doctrines were, Brother Pike had a five-pole tent, took it around preaching the gospel and different things in it. And then it was sold, and he prayed over the tent the last time he used the tent. He said, if this thing is used for anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, let it just, you know, be destroyed. This was dedicated, this tent, to God. And I happened to be blessed to go over with Brother Pike over there to Kings Mountain, North Carolina. And I looked at this thing from storm, just shredded and ripped to pieces. Such bad shape that they just threw all the canvas away. And then all there was the poles, and they purchased those things back. And the chairs and some things. But you see, that's the way the man of God prayed. Amen. So, you know, we got to understand. People sit back and look. Where's the fruit? I'm standing here. If all the labors of a place called Little Bethlehem, and if I was the only one, I don't believe that for a second. I believe there's thousands around this world that were affected by that ministry. Changed doctrine from maybe Trinity to oneness, as they say. Which I don't number myself with the oneness or call myself one. I'm just saying, if that's what they got, or switched from, you know, the Trinitarian baptism of a three-person God to just one, he said, hey, praise God, I guarantee there's thousands and thousands of men and lives and women that have been affected by that. And I trust that we're doing the same thing today. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and you could be seated this morning. Most gracious Father, thank you for the wonderful spirit here this morning of true worship, Lord, and admiration towards you and love. And Father, as this family has honored you this morning, Lord God, and we honor you, Father, your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give us, teach us and lead us and direct us. Father, let us be better fathers, better mothers, better husbands, better wives, better children, Lord God. Let us take the opportunities to analyze and to look and to consider by the Word, Father God. Let us look into the Word, Father, for our strength. And let us look to the Word for our counsel and our direction and our guidance, Father. And let us subject and submit ourselves one to another, Lord, to hear the voice of God. Help us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we love you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Good to have Brother Melvin home. I think he was so determined to be in church with us this morning, he just forgot about making money on the road, drove that truck all the way from Texas, just come straight home. Amen. And I trust God will honor him and bless him for that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brethren, I want you to turn over to Psalms chapter 146. We're going to read a little bit here, and I want to thank Brother Ed said something. You know, as I try to always remind the brethren that sometimes, you know, you might be come up and asked to sing, and you could talk for a few minutes, and you could totally change the course of a service by saying things, and it could cause things that sometimes are positive and sometimes they're negative. Sometimes I find myself having to deal with things because somebody set the atmosphere of a service in their fellowship or in their, maybe we could even say a testimony. Sometimes we open up for testimony services, you know, and I like to hear testimonies that magnify and glorify the Lord. I hate testimonies that magnify and glorify you. I don't like that in me or in you, but we're all guilty. But as Brother Ed was speaking this morning, saying some things caught thought to me, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord. And then all of a sudden, you know, then Pete comes up and it confirmed some things there. You know, and I listen. Brethren, as a rule, I don't come with a prepared message. And some say, as a woman told me, she said, it's very obvious, you know, because you just rattle and she used another term, ramble. She said, you just get up there and ramble for an hour and a half. And she wouldn't know because she never sat in one of my services ever, one time sat through a complete service. A little girl would run across the back and just, her life was a frantic all the time, continually just running and beating at the air, never accomplishing nothing. Felt like she was great spiritual revelator, great in spiritual understanding. And it showed up everywhere in her life, showed up in her little daughter, showed up in her husband. And it was probably out of the many, many hundreds, I could say, of people that have come through this little work, was probably one of the most hideous, terrible minds that I've ever seen. My wife's pretty easy going. I know the little girls in the church and the little boys say, meanie, meanie, Sister Irene, but she's pretty congenial, pretty kind-hearted to people, but I've seen my wife get in this little girl's face, put her finger in her face, said, you shut your mouth. I'm like, whoa, I shut up, man. and I'm thinking, I thought I was handling this pretty good, Miss King. She said, I'm sick of you lying and accusing my husband. She said, I'm sick of listening to this. And she's seen that over the years many times. She's had people in her home in my face. She's seen them scream at me, yell at me. She's seen them cuss me. She's seen them insult me. Amen. And she never said a word. See, that's a pastor's wife right there. You know, if a man believes he's going to be a pastor one day and his wife's affected by those things, he just needs to bow down and say, look, I'm not there. I can't take this position. I can't do that. Because that woman who becomes one in your flesh has got to become one with you. And when you're taking the spit and wiping it out of your face, she's going to have to be right there with you, smiling and doing that. That takes a special person. Amen. Are you giving honor to your wife this morning? I say yay and amen. All right, let's turn over to Psalms 146 here just for a moment. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Amen. I hope that's your determination this morning. Sometimes when it hurts in the morning, or sometimes when you feel like the whole world is against you, brothers and sisters, you need to remember to praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, praise could change things in your life. You realize that? You could submit to the oppression, the depression. You could submit to those things, and they'll rule you. They'll destroy you. Sometimes people can't hide the turmoil in their hearts and their spirit. They'll come around, they'll try to put on a smile. You know, I talked about discernment before. A man with intellectual discernment that could look at a person, look at their countenance. There's people that study body language. They study even the position of the eyebrows. They study, you know, gestures in the body. I told you that when you're riding in the car with your wife and you said things that she didn't like and that shoulder cocked that much, that ain't too much, is it? Right there, look at that. That ain't too much, but I know what that means. You know, my wife's sitting over there and all of a sudden I crossed her up. There's that shoulder right there. That means I'm done with you. It don't matter what you say, you're shut off. Y'all could laugh, but I'm just telling you, that happens. You know, and sometimes it's really bad to get a little more shoulder out there and then they're looking out that window over there. There ain't nothing out there in that field. Got a good-looking husband over here on the left side and out there looking in that field at some old ugly horse and a pig. Thinking that pig's beautiful, but you're cut off. I'm done with you for today. You know, some of you men are smiling because y'all been there. Amen. You know, but that's an intellectual discernment. It's something, you know, observing body language. Again, people study that stuff. Psychology. They can look and tell a person's lying. I could tell when a lot of men are lying because their lips are moving. You know, it's not hard. Amen. You know, brethren, but what I'm saying is that's not discernment. True discernment is a man come up and say, man, hey, Brother Rob, I love you, man. They shake your hand, smiling at you and stuff. But then yet all of a sudden there's no connection in the spirit. Zero. There's nothing there in your spirit. You know, and there's something and then the Lord could speak through that. And see, it says, you know, the discernment, understanding not just the thoughts, but the intent of the heart. Their thoughts might even been right then, but the intent of their heart is totally something different. Preacher can come in this church. I could surrender the sacred desk to him. He can minister a wonderful message. Thoughts are good. Message is good, but the intent of his heart is wrong. Had some here, and all they had an interest was proselyting. Some have interest, take this work or change it. Amen. And if the Lord sends one in and that's the will of God, then we'll subject and submit ourselves there too. Amen. But let's go on. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. You know, when we, as a rule, refer to the Son of Man, and I'm going to read on here in a minute, but you know, we thank the Son of God, the Son of Man, and we have great respect and reverence to the Son of Man, don't we, brothers and sisters? But then yet, we're not to know him in that image. We're not to know him after that image anymore. And this exhortation to you would be rending a veil to you again. And how many times do we put our trust in ourself? I know this isn't a new revelation, but come on, brethren, we're men. And so oftentimes we've got more trust in us because it's what we see. Well, I know what I could do. I can build. I could fix. I could repair. I could do a job. I could make money. You know, I know what I can do. You know, I could go out here and I could create and I could do this, and you start putting trust in yourself. Now, there's some fine lines right here. It seems like we're always trying to differentiate, you know, because the Bible said a man does need to look well to his going. But we could take that scripture so far out of context that we're looking well to our going, just like it says, and our going isn't with God, instead of going with God. You know, when we start reading about people of faith and these great, beautiful things that we all speak about, talking about our God, they're always, as a rule, remove the Son of Man out of it and show some supernatural intervention from heaven. You know, again, I look at so many things are showed to us by military power, militant strength, military mind. And Gideon, being a man trained, he was a warrior, brethren. I mean, these people were going in and conquering lands and taking lands and expanding their borders on a continuous basis under the leadership and the guidance of God and God's men and God's people and God's prophets. These were men that knew how to do things. I mean, you know, he would have been esteemed as a great commander, a great warrior with great abilities. But then the Lord starts dealing with him in a way, and he was already outmanned. It already looked pretty grim, naturally speaking. And then the Lord says, let's get rid of part of these guys. You know, it's like, what? I think of Brother Pike, and even myself have been in similar situations, that you took on an endeavor that cost thousands upon thousands of dollars, and then the Lord speak to you and tell you to give money away somewhere else. And it's like, God, you know, we're already in trouble here. How are we going to do this? How are we going to accomplish this? You know, and, you know, praise be to the Lord Jesus, man, that we have a certain amount of money kind of prepped. Or, you know, Brother George wasn't one to have no big savings accounts ever, but sometimes he would know that these great things were coming up and there might be something put there, and the Lord speaks to him and tells him to give it away. Some of you know the story. You probably heard it on some of the messages. He had a $100,000 debt due on this particular day coming up, and the devil started harassing him. What you going to do, preacher? Oh, man, it's your word. You put your word out there. It's your name. It's your ministry. You know, this is what you said you was going to do. Now here comes this man. He's going to be there for $100,000, and you only got $30,000. And he went and spent the $30,000 and bought a herd of cattle. He said, that doesn't sound too smart. He got tired of hearing the devil, and Lord made a way. He didn't get on national TV and begging for bread and saying, oh, God's going to kill me if you don't give me $100,000. We know of a preacher done that. He didn't do those things. But what I understand, the day that that man was showing up, another man got there late with a briefcase full of cash to take care of it. And you say, well, praise be to the Lord, huh? And I say, yeah, praise be to God. It was a man who walked by faith and believed. There was times he was putting his suitcases in the car to go overseas. And he told his wife, he said, look, the Lord told us to go. He didn't have the means or even an aircraft ticket bought yet, but they're loading their suitcases in the car. A man came up and gave him a dress jacket and said, I want to give this to you. Never told him anything, and he put it on and tried it out. And he reached in the pocket, and it was enough money to pay for his airfare round trip to get him to Israel and back. But see, he set forth to go. Sometimes people didn't even know what he was doing, but he trusted the Lord. We're talking about faith, yes. We use great men of God about their great exploits and their great faith and great things that they do. It says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. You see, he took and done something in reverse, Brother Pike, when he spent that $30,000. So you praising man this morning? No, I'm praising God this morning. If I was praising man, the man would have used his abilities and skills of an entrepreneur and maybe as many ministers do today, to a skill and knowing how to take up an offer and knowing how to plea and get out there and cry. Drop your count and say, oh, we have need this morning. You know, and I mean, they're trained, brethren. They know how to do it. Brother Pike was going to be ministering a message off over, and there was some other ministers there, and he got there and the guy asked Brother Pike, he said, what's your gig? He goes, what do you mean, what's my gig? Was that the term they use, gig? Gimmick, yeah, gimmick is what it was. Thank you. What's your gimmick? He goes, what do you mean, what's my gimmick? But what do you do to get your offerings? He said, I'm not here for offerings. This is a man of God that sat and spent thousands of dollars, set meetings, and he's seen him getting out of course from people like that man that I just spoke of, that ask him that, and he walk off the platform and go and leave. And you say, what about the thousands spent? That wasn't important to him as it was for the gospel of Jesus Christ not being tainted or perverted with the mind of man. Not putting no confidence in the Son of Man. So as we speak about Gideon, a man is greatly skilled and greatly trained and knows how to fight, and then all of a sudden the Lord's weakening his army. And then they take their weapons away from him. But then God revealed and showed himself. As I said, Moses, a military man, leads him down into a hemlock, something no military commander would ever do, but he'd had enough faith to follow the cloud and follow the pillar of fire. Amen? Amen. He brings the priest down to the Jordan, and the Bible took enough time to record that it was beyond the flood stage. The banks were overcrowded and overflooded, so it wasn't like some theologians would like to think, oh, it was just kind of low that day. They walked across. Some are trying to teach it. It was a great wind that blew across the Red Sea. And there's a shelf out there going across the Red Sea. It's only 18 inches deep. And when the wind blew that thing back, that they were able to walk across. Well, praise God for that. If God created a wind to be able to do that, but that same God created enough water to drown the horse and riders in 18 inches of water then, so somewhere there was a miracle took place. I believe in a supernatural God, brother, and I don't need to have some intellectual mind of man to tell me how all these things were done. We're serving a supernatural God. Amen? And we put our confidence and our trust in man and the Son of Man, in ourself, in our skills and our abilities and our weapons and our warfare tactics or whatever. And the Bible says no confidence in the flesh. Your flesh can do great things, mighty things, powerful things. Flesh builds empires. Flesh takes over kingdoms. Flesh makes men into presidents and great men of recognition, great men of respect. That's what the flesh can do. That's where the uncertain sounds go forth, brethren, because people see the glitter, you know, they see the lights, they see the fame, they see the power, and they get drawn into that. I think about, you know, we deal with men that are incarcerated, you know, and they get out of school and everything, they go get a job. It might be in construction. They get out of high school, one of them might be overworking at McDonald's. You know, another one might be at Burger King. Another one might be at Target. Another one might be over here and they're working and going along. And here's their same buddy they went to high school with. And he comes cruising up in a nice shiny Mercedes with the 22-inch wheels, huh? Got that old nice stereo in there, man. It's just a banging, boy. Got him some pretty girl under, you know, sitting in the middle right next to him and stuff. And you look at this guy. And man, you're sweating trying to get enough finances together, trying to get enough money together, you know, that you can get a down payment on your first car maybe. And you're doing that, and here's this guy comes driving up in this nice car with this thing. Yeah, you're drawn by that. He says, hey man, I got an opportunity for you. When you get off work today, after you take your Burger King little suit off, you know, I want you to deliver this little package. I'll pay you as much as you make during a month. Enticement. Anybody ever heard anything like that? Come on, am I just rambling here? No, this is the way the world works. But what was speaking through that man with the nice car? It's the devil. Hey, there's a lot easier of a way here. It's like a preacher when you're going around thinking he's going to take somebody else's work. That's a thief. That's a whoremonger. That's all he is, a whoremonger in another dimension. Coveting somebody else's things, somebody else's wife. No difference, man. That's all it is, brethren. You know, but we don't analyze or we don't make those kind of godly judgments. Let's read on here just a little bit. I'm going to read this verse again. Put no trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Dealing with a young man. And every time I speak to him, every time I deal with him, every time I talk with him, he's got these awesome thoughts, man. It's just so enlightening. So seem to be so in tune and so powerful. And it's not just a wild thought that come through. It's thought that looked like it had been meditated on and spoke about and got a vision and a dream of these great tasks and great accomplishments and these great things that are going to take place and going to do this and do that. But it goes to the ground, just like it said. A day or two later, there's a new thought with a new goal and a new thing. And with great insight and great thought of how to make it come to pass. But it goes to the dirt. It goes to the ground. It goes to the dust. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. It's not what it says, is it? It says in all their ways. When you find a double-mindedness in a man, it'll show up in the workplace. You'll see it as an entrepreneur or an employer. You'll see it in his marriage. You'll see it in his worship. You'll see it everywhere about him. He's unstable in everything. Everything. Sometimes people are seeking for accomplishment or seeking for gain. We all are. We're men. And in our seeking for some sort of accomplishment, there's many accomplishments as natural men we have to have. We got to have food on the table, don't we? So we're seeking for a livelihood, for we don't be numbered with the infidels or the unbelievers. So we're seeking and pursuing a livelihood, provisions, We need to have a home, so we're seeking for a home. Amen? For a place, a dwelling place. We need transportation to be able to work. So we seek after those things. And some of us get lost in that. Amen? Let's read on here just for a moment. Some of us get lost right there. I'm going to read 4 again. His breath goeth forth and returneth to the earth. He returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. You see, when you look at this, most people are going to read this like this. They're going to think that he returneth to the earth, so he's thinking that this man dust to dust and going back there, and that's correct. But let me tell you, when I return to the earth and mind, the carnal mind, is death. So sometimes I could die while I still yet live. The Bible said some twice dead. So I could read this scripture here and I could say, okay, a death of carnality and a carnal mind, right? And then it said, in this very day his thoughts perish. Because of the carnal, because of that, his thoughts perish that day while he still yet live. So we're always trying to differentiate to get a revelation. And so many times we go past it because that's the way we judge it or look at it or analyze it. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Whose hope is in the Lord, his God. You see, these that had the hope in the Lord, their God here, brethren, they're not putting their trust in princes or the Son of Man. They're putting it in God. Amen. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. I know I'm going line upon line here, but I want to say some things. So now we're talking about this God that made the heavens and the earth and the sea, and even you. But then, yeah, we're going to put our hope in the Son of Man because I had this great ability. Man, I built a house. I built a business. Man, I didn't have anything, and I went and got me an automobile, a car. And I done this with my mind and my labors and my thoughts and everything. I don't need God. It's an easy place for you and I to come to, brethren. I could preach this message because I failed this message, brethren. I failed it as a young man in my strength, in my glory, in my abilities, in my skills. I was able to make things happen as a young man. Cock-a-doodle-doo. But I was on my way to hell. You understand that? With my accomplishments, I was creating myself to be greater than God. I didn't even never hear or know what the abomination of desolation was. And then I come to find out in Revelation that that was me. Because I thought my mind superior than God. I didn't need him to help me, to lead me, to guide me. I didn't need to go to him for counsel or strength. I didn't need him. I had everything I wanted and doing exactly what I wanted. Just like an old man that stood over here and said, man, I failed as a father. I was going down that same trail, that same course, the same iniquity of overconfidence and thinking highly of yourself. That's why Brother Rob preaches the way he preaches. You don't have to make $1 million or $100,000 or whatever to have that mind in you. It's phenomenal. I see people without, but they think, and I think, wow, this guy thinks that he's the president or something. Barking orders and doing this and that. And I'm thinking, where is this guy's mind at? Who does he think that he is? The same mind. I know it very clearly. The carnal mind. Enmity with God. The carnal mind is death. We always separate ourselves from that. Well, I'm not carnal minded, Brother Rob. The only way that you are not carnal minded is if you mortify that mind every day. But you learn to like it. You take that kid that yields to the guy with the 22-inch wheels, those shining lights in the fender wells, the boom box that's making the earth vibrate when he goes by, and you yield to that, it works. Man, all of a sudden, you know, you're driving a car just like his, man, and you got the whore under your arm cruising down the road. Boy, you something. But you know what? You know, sin bringeth forth a, you know, pleasure and joy for a season. But then all of a sudden you find yourself incarcerated in a prison. Talking to men incarcerated right now. See, they yielded to the beggarly elements of the world and to the fame and to the pride and to all the prestige and the finances and the glory. Now, not all got to go that route and do it illegally. You could do it legally without ever breaking a law. You could be a great entrepreneur making finances and making money, done well in aviation business. Then I had a family member that wants to be drug smuggling, to be good at it, to be one of the largest ones in this country, had to have airplanes. You have airplanes, you got to have skill, you got to have ability. You got to know how to take an airplane and make it fly without stopping for gas. Have to do modifications and rigging on it, and that was where I was at. Knew how to do that. Be careful what you say there, preacher. Oh yeah, I'm very careful what I say. But you know, the money was awesome. A lot of money. I can remember him handing a grocery sack with $125,000 cash for a simple little flight over down to South America and back. $125,000 cash. You know, back in the early 80s, that's a lot of money. Guess what God done with that $125,000? I'm not going to go into real detail here. It was another individual that you all know. For just simply flying a little airplane, God started blowing on it. My dad spent 60 days in a prison down in a little island called Aruba. Most of you heard about it from some little bimbo college girl that got down there, got to messing around and drinking and slipping around. I just speak plain, brethren. It's a sad thing that she's dead. It's a sad thing that she was probably raped and killed. But Dad spent 90 days in there. Lost about 35 or 40 pounds. Probably about my age when this took place. Is it worth it? You see, there's consequences for sin. Okay, but then you go down through the normal way of making finances and making money, making a living, making a name, making a business. There's a way to do it without breaking laws or bending laws, and you're just a perfect, clean man, and you'd never take advantage of nobody. Guess what? The results are the same. You're on your way to hell. You say, but Brother Rob, how can this be? Because the mind of death. Because it isn't, your thoughts are not established. And your thoughts are on you. I know them thoughts well. I've been a failure, brothers. I've had my thoughts on me in more than one aspect of my life. And it'll destroy you and kill you. You see, some people can hear an old man crying out as a failure as a dad and it not move you at all. But then yet you could see that you're walking the same course. You're training and molding. I've had mothers and fathers in my home for counsel or wherever and counseling them saying, look, your marriage has failed. It ain't worth a count. But you're creating the next generation marriage too. Your son is going to be just like you, you sorry father. Your daughter's going to be just like you, you wretched mother. Going to be just like you because you imparted your perversion and your iniquity into your children. Because you're not in the mind of God or the mind of revelation. And you said, but Brother Rob, this passage that you're preaching out of is giving praise to God. And I say, amen, it is. But there's a lot of revelation right here speaking about the Son of Man. Amen. Come on, somebody can smile a little bit and say, man, thank you. Help me, preacher. Come on, I want help. Amen. I had a pastor that didn't have a problem getting in your face. And you could have been, you know, there'd be times that you'd been over there working and given not a day, not 2 days, not just a week. You might have been over there for 2 weeks. And all of a sudden he's in your face, rebuking you. And then some guy that ain't been around for 6 years walks in, hey, brother, how you doing? God bless you. It's really a blessing to see you. And you say, that don't make sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me. Because that other guy's already on his way to hell, but he's trying to save my soul from getting in a snare that'll put me like that guy out of church. Amen? You see, I know what the love of God is. Happy is he, verse 5, that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord is God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. I'm going to go back to verse 7 just for a moment. And we're going to go back to verse 8 again. Yes. Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. We got to understand God. You see, the message of America is a God of mercy, a God of love, a God that forgives, a God that loves everybody, a God that takes everybody in just as they are. There's a lot of truth in this. God took me in and I was a wretch, so there's truth in it. God took you in and you were a wretch. There's truth in it. Amen. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish. That's true love, brethren. But then yet this same God executes wrath on the ungodly and on the sinner. This true God, as we express to show his strength and his power, allows things to take place. We think of Job. And we think, why would God allow such a thing? Because he had to show his strength in the earth, in man. That this man chose not to curse God. He lost everything. Would you stand with a testimony for God if you lost all of your business and all of your livelihood and all of your livestock and all of everything that you had, including your wife and including your children? And you're going to stand and say, my God is an awesome God, man. And I praise and I worship and I love him. God showed something. He allowed the evil to come against that man for he could show his strength. That this man wasn't connected to the carnal things of this world for his praise and admiration to God. That he had praise and love and worship to God. No matter what would come against him or what would happen to him, he would stand and praise the Lord. I'm thankful for men like that. One of Brother Pike's own family members come and say, where's this God that you've been preaching about for 40 some years? Where is this God while you lay here in this bed of death? Where is this God? And Brother George pulled enough strength to say, get out of my room. Praise be to God for that. Don't you come in here cursing my God or speak against my God is alive. One of my last conversation with man, he said, Brother Rob, he said, it don't matter what happens to this body. Remember the things that I've been teaching and been preaching. That's what life is. That's what's real. But we weigh it after the flesh. That preacher can't have nothing to say, wears glasses. That preacher ain't got nothing to say, man, his hairline's fading back. Boy, I got faith in God. You'll find out how much faith, you bald-headed rascal, one day. I preach, if he had faith, he wouldn't wear these glasses. You'll have Pepsi bottle lenses before long, so shut your face. Amen. Brethren, this darkness of our first birth is what the Lord is utilizing to use, to speak, to bring admiration and love towards him. The glory isn't to the body. The Bible says to know no man after the flesh. And we'll take and look at the flesh instead of what's coming forth from the flesh. We'll look at the man in his weaknesses, or we'll look at the man maybe in his failed as a dad or failed as a husband or whatever. We'll look at that and we're looking so busy at that we can't hear the voice of God. Amen? And our thoughts perish and run right down to the ground. And they don't bring no fruition or no fruit, no honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I know before I met Brother Pike, I was in some kind of a state of mind thinking, I guess God has just got to use the ungodly to get this message out. And it appeared to be that way to me. Because I've seen so much failure after failure after failure after failure in the ministry. I've seen so much grotesque, truly grotesque things taking place. All in the name of the Lord. And that's what I thought. But you see, I had to come to a revelation, to a mind, to an understanding. And there's a lot of uncertain sounds and a lot of lying vanities. Amen. And I got to first let that judgment begin in the house of God. You see, we talk about judgment in the house of God by talking about this sacred death being in the house of God bringing judgment. But we got to go beyond that. If I'm the temple of the Lord, amen, I'm the house of God. You're the house of God. While people are digging and searching for the Ark of the Covenant, there's a revelation you come to and know exactly where it's at. I'm the dwelling place of the Lord. And he speaks out of his temple. Amen? We got to come to knowing who we are in him. Amen. And don't forget the part in Him. A lot of us know who we are in ourselves, and we've proven ourselves. And it's easy to put confidence in that. It's easy to put confidence in you, yourself. It's easy to do that because God's blessed you and He's raised you up. Many kings of old, when you go back and read through the Old Testament, were raised up by the Lord, and the prophets come and prophesy or anoint them as king. And then they would get and they'd see their great military powers by commanding the armies and the chariots to go forth. And they would slew and conquer and take lands. And then pretty soon they didn't need God no more. They didn't need to go see the prophets no more because they had this vast army. And you know what God done to that every time? He brought it down to naught. He brought it down, and God did. God raised it up and God took it down. And He still does the same thing today. He could raise you up today and make you a great blessing to the kingdom of God. And you're helping people and working people and training people and teaching people. And it gets to your head and you get arrogant, haughty, and high-minded, and He'll knock you down so fast. As I often say, if He could bring a nation down in a day, what can He do to you? It wouldn't take much. We're fragile. Could you ever look at yourself in the flesh and think that you're feeble for a moment? Do you have to get up in age? I seen little brother Paul out there yesterday. You know, he grabbed a log about this big, around about this tall. And he bends down, puts a shoulder on that thing, and he starts to stand up. I said, whoa, I heard Brother Ed offer him an exhortation too. You know why me and Brother Ed offer an exhortation? Because we like Bengay and Tylenol. You know, we used to be that little guy, huh? Oh, let me show you. Hey, man, I don't need no help, man. Get out of the way. Hey, man, look here. You know, give me that sucker. You pick it up. Yeah, man. Yeah, look at this. Yeah, but I got this thing. Ain't no problem, man. Yeah, whoops. Oh, what was that? Hey, man. It sounds like I'm picking on Brother Paul. No, I'm not picking on him. That's the mind that goes along with being 16, 17. You're trying to make a place in this world. Show somebody, hey, I'm smart. I got this strength, man. I got this power. A kid down there at Bethlehem, you know, I was, I guess, 33 years old when I came there, 32. And I did a lot of mechanic work and engine work. And this kid said, man, I didn't want to go to mess with Brother Rob. I reached down and picked up a 302 Ford motor, the block, and had the pistons and cranking. And I picked it up and set it on the back of my pickup. And he said, my goodness. You know, what are you saying, Brother Rob? You're strong. No, I'm saying I'm stupid. I'm not talking about strength, I'm talking about stupidity. I hurt now. Brother Ed evidently hurts sometimes too. He says, look, dude, don't do that. So I hollered at him, had a chainsaw idling in my hand. My arm's still sore today from carrying that thing around yesterday. And I said, hey, whoa. And he looked at me and I said, drop it. And I went and cut it in half and I said, now you can have it. I'm just helping him a little bit. Amen. I don't like the smell of Bengay. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know none of you other men in here's been there. We're just talking to little brother Paul, man. He's the only 16-year-old in here, you know, so we're just going to wear him out this morning. I wish you could get rid of that mind at 16, 17, or 18. Sometimes it just transforms and changes, you know, where we put our chest out. Brethren, if there's any honor, any glory to be done of your accomplishments, you need to praise the Lord, amen, and give Him the glory, the honor, and the praise, amen. If you got any strength in your body, glorify and magnify the Lord. Any wisdom, any understanding, to God be the glory of all things, amen. Verse 7 again, which executes judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. An execution of judgment for the oppressed. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. How many of you could honestly be honest with yourself and say that you've walked in the blindness before? Now listen to me. We teach a positive profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now me speaking through the profession of faith would never admit to being blind. Would never admit it would be something that would cross my conscience for me to say, oh, I'm blind. I feel like I've violated the world of faith, the world of profession, the world of speaking things that are not as if they are. So I understand that where the travail in that comes in. But sin, yet that could take and that could be converted to weakness. If you would put what I just said together with the message that I tried to deliver on Friday night, maybe you could understand, because people will have this positive profession without the strength, without the virtue, without the fruit, without the substance. They're saying the right things, but there's no substance of what they're saying. Now, when we rend the veil, and even as we're reading here, and we separate these two, you know, we as men, a lot of times, will sit in our pew. That could be taken in many ways. Oh, gosh, help me, Lord. That's the stench in the nostrils of God. No. Oh, that's not the way I was saying that, but it sure works good. Amen. Help me, Lord. But we could sit and we read a scripture about blind. We say, we're looking over across the aisle. Yeah, boy, I wish old Rassico could see what I see. Boy, I wish Brother Josh could see what I see. I wish Whitlow, man, would see what I see. Man, he's blind. You know, but where is our growth? Where is our examining? Where is our challenging? Where is our mortification? Where is our death? Where is our sacrifice? You see, and this is, again, a fine line here where we go wrong. Is we'll have this positive profession of faith without mortality, without death. And what we're doing is we're praising our brilliance. We're praising our mind because we've studied and examined the mind of God, and we've learned this thing maybe through obedience, which we should. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But then yet we could see the provisions, like I say, of the kings of old that were ordained by the prophets of God and anointed with oil, and we see failure. See, it was the ordination of God, but they took it to themselves. And it brought down destruction and failure. So now here we are. We've come a long ways in the Lord. We've examined and we've seen, observed. And we see it not through the mind of my humanity or man, but we see it through the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. And we observe humanity and we get arrogant and haughty and we separate ourselves from them as the new creatures in Christ, as God's elect children, as the sons of God. And then we look at them without the same compassion that our Lord and Savior did. And there's a snag right there in your revelation. There's a failure right there. You forgot to look at the part that you should be down kneeling before that one that you're judging out of your self-righteous accomplishments, that you should be on your knees washing his feet. And you miss the revelation of Jesus Christ. You turned the revelation, again, as I've said this over and over, you've turned it into some kind of a carnal knowledge of a, and that made you even greater than them because of knowledge. And you're just puffed up. And it isn't the knowledge, because his knowledge will put you on your knees before the heathen, washing their feet and loving them and helping them. There's your revelation, but you don't like that revelation. You want the heathen to bow down to you because you read in the scriptures that the wealth of them are laid up for you, and you brought it all about yourself. See, you didn't go line upon line, because he said you pursue for their wealth. You pursue for their substance and pursue for their blessing. You know, you could take and bring substance to a man that doesn't love you or God, and you could show love to him and you could create love in that man, and all of a sudden that man will turn and fall in love with you and the brotherhood and the family of God through what you're doing. But no, we've created our own world and our own mind and our own man and our own kingdom. Amen. Well, we made it look like God's kingdom. We even talk about him. Sometimes we put the name over it. But there's a problem laying there. Verse 8 again, it says, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. And the Lord loveth the righteous. That's wonderful. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. I know you're going to talk about them turned upside down, aren't you, Brother Rob? Well, it's contributed to the Apostle Paul that he turned the world upside down too, didn't he? Let's talk about that first part of that verse. You know, about him preserveth the strangers and relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked turneth upside down. We can't leave out either part of this. We got to take the whole counsel of God. Amen? So when we see these calamities and tragedies and these things like this, God done that. There was three or four hurricanes go across the Florida Peninsula, and a nationwide known preacher, television evangelist, well known, probably everybody in America would know who he is and know his name. He stands up on nationwide TV and he said, that was the wrath of God coming on. And boy, he got so much flack from the people, from the religious communities, that he went in and apologized on nationwide TV when he should have never apologized. It showed him being a compromiser. Because his statement was vindicated by the word of God, and it was correct and right. But he has to preach and tickle the ears of the people to have the networks and the following and the hundreds of millions of dollars it takes to keep his satellites in the sky and all the stuff going on for his ministry. Brother Pike made a statement about Oral Roberts. He said his heart was right, was a true man of God. But he wanted to bring a place of education and train people where wouldn't be great expenses on them, and he built something bigger than what he was. And then he couldn't support it and take care of it. So then he started doing it the ways the world does it. Let's start a ball team. People come out. Maybe we should start a Christian temple ball team. Man, I got the machine. I could make the jerseys. I got the scissors, man. I could cut their pant legs out for they can have their little basketball shorts. We can call it the Christian temple knobby knees. Yeah. Can you see these little white-legged suckers running around playing ball? They ain't been out on the beach like the pretty boys of sports. Yeah, I can see it. Well, this is funny, Brother Rob. It don't fit in your mind, does it? In the mind's eye and the thought of the Lord, it doesn't fit. I have nothing in my heart or desire to thank that. But I've said with preachers on end, oh, you know, we got to offer these things to get the youth in. Sir, they've been trying this for years. It ain't working. Where are they at today? Where are they at today? Had some youth come over and work yesterday. I appreciate that. You know, little guys learning to work, learning how to work, learning what being a man is. Amen? I'm going to read verse 9 again. For the Lord preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. I want you to take a note on verse 10. It said, unto all generations. That's talking about you today. His mind is the same. His judgments are the same. His counsel is the same. Amen. And there were people that worshiped the God of Jacob. They understood him and they knew him. But then yet today we've created another God that isn't the same God that Jacob served. We've created a God of compromise. We've created a God that just is only long-suffering, but he doesn't turn anything upside down. We just talk about the mercies and the love and compassion. Amen. But then because of not preaching the wrath and the judgment of God, this is why the world has gone to lasciviousness and taken the grace of God there too. Amen. And brethren, we need to understand and rend the veil. Now the thing is when God uses you and the glory goes to the mind of Christ, you could take the glory to the mind of your education. You could take the glory to the mind of your skill. You could take the glory to the mind of your great pressing in. But brethren, that's where you'll fail right there. And this is where men of God fail. This is where preachers fail and ministries fall and businesses will fail. Speaking with Brother Josh the other day, come over and help me work in the shop and things. His statement was correct and factual, but it was a little bit wrong and I did correct him on it. But he said, you know, if I was in the world, I would have already had a job. And he's right. He said, I was the top of the class in graduation. I went to it. I was absolutely pleased in some of the things I saw. I did not know that we had police chief over in Asheboro that man testified the Lord and spoke and pastored a church also. I may have that crossed on them, but one of them was a pastor of a church. And man, he did nothing but testify the Lord. He said, these men that are going out, y'all need to be praying for them. They put them life out there in harm's way. And he said, what they need is Jesus Christ. This is the things that are being said in a graduation. And I, in my thoughts, was thinking like, well, they can't even mention the name of Jesus. I go to an army base, see my grandson graduate from boot camp. You know, well, you know, we got to talk about the power. You know, we can't say Jesus. We can talk about God. And the chaplain for the whole southeastern state gets up for people, and he goes, "Will you call on your God while I pray to mine?" It don't work that way with me. I'm because there's only one God, and we're going to call on him, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And I've been ousted. Amen. Come on, brethren. We got to know where the glory, the honor, and the praise and things go to. So we bring up these examples and these thoughts and these saints, and we see people compromise. And they see God raise them up, and then they bring it to their own self and their own glory, their own praise. I'll tell you what will destroy a preacher quicker than anything. He gets up and he gets the counsel of the Lord. He hears from heaven. God visits him in the night, wakes him up in the night. He dreams about it. He sees it. And God unveils a revelation to him. And he comes and delivers and sees the people moved. And then they start strutting. Yes, man, I got them good today. I'll tell you what, God will plow your fields. Amen. And he'll laugh at you on the day of your calamity. You know? You see, let me tell you where I struggle at sometimes. And I know you do too, because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. You can go over and maybe you could take an old wrecked car and you could take it in your shop and replace the fenders and reupholster it, and you could paint it, and you do all this stuff, and you stand back and with a great sense of accomplishment. And you look at it and think, man. But see, you can go to pride. But then yet, if we could keep our mind and our hearts right, we could say, thank you, Lord, for the abilities that you've granted to me that I could take and show a revelation of taking something that was an outcast or something that was rejected or something that the world was done with and take and mold it and shape it and restore it and make it into something desirable and something wanted. Amen. And you could magnify the Lord and glorify his name. Amen. And you keep things in order that way. And he's able to continue on and bring blessings and prosperity and things to you. But we mess up there because it's the mind of man. And we stand to receive the glory and the praise and the admiration to ourself. Come on, saints. It's all of us. Oh, the preacher's getting that other blind guy over there. He's getting that other blind guy over there. But now, I'm going to go back to what I said a moment ago. How many of us could stand here before the Lord today and say, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind? Okay? The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. So the thing is I'm going to have to recognize that there was blindness in my life, for I could testify to the fact of being able to see. But I'm telling you, when you go over to the New Testament where Jesus is speaking and he said, though you have eyes, you don't see. I'm telling you the way you hear that. Listen to me. It's never received to you, ever. You can say, well, no, you're not right, Brother Rob. I know he's talking to me. I'm telling you, mankind will not receive that. They'll look and say, man, he's getting Brother Zach. Boy, he's got Brother Dariel. You know, he's got that. That's why we always look at that. We never consider ourselves to be blind. But brother, in your first birth, you're blind as a bat. You're blind in your intellectual darkness. You're blind in being led by the blind and all falling in the ditch. That's us as man. And the only way that we could stop that from happening, or the only way that we could stop this curse, is to see it through the mind of the Lord. And know somewhere that in your first birth, that you're blind, that you're weak, that you're wretched, that you're no good. And then when you start speaking by the new creature, And then you'll use this word of God in the scriptures to say, well, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Okay, well, praise God for that today. But what about when he resurrects tomorrow? That's why the Bible said daily we take up the cross. Oh, you done well yesterday, Brother Emmanuel. But what happens when Emmanuel resurrects on Monday or Sunday? He's got to be killed again, doesn't he? Now, is that Bible? Oh, but I believe in this. You know, I was crucified with Christ and it's by his works, once and for all, by his works and labors at Calvary. And I said, yes, that's what puts your inner man, the quickening of the spirit, hid away in the third heaven. And it's a done deal, brother. It isn't by your works, it isn't by your action, it isn't by your labors. You're saved by the grace and the mercies of Jesus Christ. And you're hid away there. That's a profession of faith, amen. But I got to bring that faith to a fruition, to a substance, to an evidence. And the only way I could do that is not walking after the mind of the flesh. Not walking after the mind of the man. Gideon had to make a decision. Look, I know how to use the sword. I know how to sharpen the sword. I've trained these men to fight with the sword. But now I've got to yield to this God. I got to yield to this spirit that's telling me to do one of the most foolish things I ever done. I'm going to go out here with a clay pot and a candle to fight against these ones that I'm already outnumbered. And he listened to the Lord and God moved in his behalf. How many times do we miss the move of God in our life because we reasoned it out in our own humanistic reasoning with our own strength and our own ability? God gave Gideon the ability to fight, but he said, now you're leaning to the arm of the flesh. You're leaning to your ability. You're leaning to your skill. You're leaning to your mind. You're leaning to your power. I got to stop that. Go and do it this way. But when God asks you today, my friend, I gave you a business, I raised you up, but now your business rules you. Your business owns you. Amen? I bless you with that. I gave that to you. Honor me with it. Bring glory to my name. But you miss church. Because your business is greater than God. And God will blow on and bring you down in a second. You'll lose your substance, you'll lose your homes, you'll lose your health, you'll lose your strength, everything. Because God is a God of worship, a God of glory, a God of praise, a God of honor. And when you remove the praise from him and bring it to yourself, because the great mind that he gave you. This is why many men that sat under revelational doctrine of Brother George Leon Pike, they took it out there and they learned these things and they saw that it moved people. And people were drawn to it and they started taking it to themselves and they become the instrument of death. All in the name of admiration to a great man of God. And they received it to themselves. I've had so many, oh man, and there's this competition. Who was closer to Brother George Pike? Well, let me tell you, the closer you were, the more accountable you are. The more you learn, the more accountable you are. And much given, much more required. And he's requiring it of you. But no, you want to be recognized of one of his brethren for self-esteem, so to speak. And all it is, you should have your head bowed down where he said, I'll pick them up that are bowed down before him. He'll raise them up and make them righteous when you're bowed down. And all that learning, all that education should have us bowed down saying, oh my God. I remember when I'd go to Brother Pike with something I'd get my eyes open to, the blind part of me that I didn't see. And I'd hear him and all of a sudden I would perceive through the mind of Christ. And I'd go to him and I'd say, Brother Pike, I said, help me out here, but this is what I perceive or understood. And he would look back at me and say, you owe that to the whole world, Brother Rob. You know, well, I just kind of like the part I seen it, you know. I don't want the responsibility of that. I just like the part it feels good to see something. Oh man, it makes me feel good. I'm somebody. Hallelujah. I didn't want the responsibility of the whole world. Amen. And let me tell you, if you have the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're accountable and responsible not to walk around like some cock rooster with your legs up high and your chest out and cock-a-doodle-doo. That's a stench. The same cock-a-doodle-doo you're going to hear is the same one Peter heard when he's standing there cursing God. But that's what man does. Amen. You know, sometimes messages could be heavy to a brethren. As I brought one forth last Wednesday night, I said, you know, I'm talking to one of the greatest and the most powerful brotherhood that I know. And I mean that with my heart. I'm not just saying that out of some, well, you know, bless God, you really think highly of yourself, Brother Rob. think you got the... Let me tell you something. The labors of the Lord aren't in vain. And there's been word of God going forth in this church, and men have been established and being built. And we got a powerful, good, strong brotherhood. There's churches way bigger than this, but they ain't got what we got. They got numbers. Them preachers have more people chewing on them in hell is all it's going to be when it comes down to the end of the matter. But we got brotherhood, a strong brotherhood. I preach messages like this morning. You know, and I see it affecting these men that are already great men of valor, but maybe this is why. Brother Pike made a statement. He said, I preach y'all like you're going to hell. But he goes, I do that because I don't want nobody to go to hell. But brethren, we had, I think it was 39 different homes, I believe, tuned in on one Sunday morning. And I leave sometimes the 99 going after the one. And there's people that are in prison this morning that are so bound in conceit and self-fame and self-glory. So bound up in themselves with their revelational doctrine that came by our efforts right here at Christian Temple, sending Brother Pike's messages in there and books. Some of these men have read that book of the latter prophet or whatever, probably numerous times, read their Bibles. They got a lot of time on their hands. Some of them shut themselves away and they're reading and reading and reading and reading the Bible. And all it's doing is killing them and destroying them because they don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. They took it to their head. Brother Tab's own testimony the other day to me. He said, Brother Rob, I was learning this stuff, man. And man, I'm walking tall. I'm expressing his heart, okay? Of a confession, he says. Man, I'm going to take this revelation to the black churches. Well, he could have, I could see Brother Tab behind the sacred desk over there in Atlanta, and these guys standing behind him like this. Yeah, he'd a man. You see, there was something going to his head instead of to his heart. Boy, the poor guy, you're picking on the black guy this morning, Brother Rob. It's a white supremacist thing. You wretched cracker. I wouldn't even think that way. Amen. One thing that maybe he's done that you hadn't, you cracker, you white supremacist bigot. Maybe the one thing you haven't done is maybe confessed like he did. And maybe you haven't had your eyes open enough to say, my God, the enemy laying within this camp is me. It's me. I'm taking it to me. It's about me, about my kingdom, about my ministry, about what I'm going to do. For I could be up in the lights. God, what a terrible place. Amen. Y'all quiet this morning, man. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Brethren, you know, we could get heavy in a message like this because we're all guilty. But at the same time, in this message, I'm reading the scriptures here, you know, about what he does, you know, for the strangers and the fatherless and the widows, right? I mean, we could read these things. You know, he's bringing food to the oppressed and the hungry. Come on, that's us, man. We can take a hold of this thing and say, man, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? You know, sometimes you say, well, I'm going to put a plate back. I'm going to fast. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Brother George made the statement more than one. Long fast, and all they had was a hungry devil at the end of it. A hungry dog, he said at one time. You know, fasting isn't a magical thing, brethren. It's a spiritual thing. And you're fasting to deny yourself, to deny the lust of your appetite, and to put it under subjection. And it says, and to pray. And then you pray. And while you're broken and while you're down that thing, you could receive a state of revelation and mind of Christ in the weakness of your flesh, man. You got to weaken him down sometimes. Every day, you got to kill him. Every day. You got to kill him. You could recognize the places where I need to die doesn't make you dead. You can see where I'm alive and that doesn't make you dead. You can see my failures doesn't make you dead. You can see my ignorances doesn't make you dead. Nor does it make you not have them of your own. But we have to get our eyes opened or we're blind. And the first thing that you're going to get your eyes open to is the adversary, the enemy. That is pursuing you and trying to kill you. And he lays within the members of your first birth. So as much attention as you give to the revelational doctrine of being hid away, sealed in, not able to sin, cannot sin, impossible. You're eternal. You're the new creature. Man, praise God for that. That sounds so well. But when you take all that to you as the flesh, you've missed the revelation. And you've got to bring this thing into a perspective of taking this unrighteous, tilted on its axis man, because this inner quickening has been caught away in the spirit. It's got to come back, just as Jesus did. It's got to come back to this man. It's caught away, and it comes back and dwells in this man and brings him upright. The righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God. And you got to bring that man upright. And the only way you can do that is through works and labors and action. But you're so spiritual that you will come against that doctrine because you don't see Jesus came with works in the earth. He didn't need the works for himself. He didn't need to come down here and be beaten to prove his power. He didn't come down here and have to die to prove that he was life. But he had to prove it to mankind for their life. So when you come down here and deny yourself and you walk in the counsel of the Lord, amen, it's for the salvation of others. So we have to do the very same thing. You want the revelation of Jesus Christ with no death. That's what you want. And you want to bring it to your flesh and bring it to yourself and bring it to your admiration, to your fame, to your glory, to your honor, to your praise. That's every one of you, including myself, because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. The differences maybe between one of you and another one of you is maybe you come to a 30-fold, another one maybe came to a 60-fold measure or of understanding. Maybe this one knows how to mortify himself better than this other guy does. Maybe this other guy is more successful of killing out himself and getting himself out of the way. There's the difference. But we never remove the fact. You never get so spiritual that you're going to remove the fact that you got to kill something every single day. When you wake up, your thoughts are going to be on you instead of him. And the only way you could do that is through the transformation of your thinking, by casting down thought from man and start thinking like Christ. Amen. The thoughts of man will put you into hell. The thoughts of man, you know, they are right in their own eyes. You have a preacher coming here and he's totally knocking down your thoughts, but in your eyes they're right. They are. Every one of us. But that's part of my calling. I got to teach you and help you how to get rid of the one that the other could live. I'm going to say this to the ones listening in the prison, and we're going to put this in a letter and send it forth. We send a lot of Bibles, a lot of books, a lot of tracts, a lot of things into the prison. We love it, and we're thankful to do it. But many times men in the prison, they'll go over and meet a guy. You know, hey, I'm Brother Such, how you doing? They talk about the Lord for 5 minutes, and they order a Bible. That's okay. I'd rather be given plenty of Bibles away. And as of late, we've sent Bibles and books and things and people that are on the outside in the world. You know, could you send my son a Bible? Yeah, and we do it. Could you send my daughter a Bible? Yeah, and we do it. Could you send my aunt a Bible? And we do it. We've had numerous requests of this. But I'm going to tell you this, that you tell those family members to go to our website, ChristianTempleOnline.org. It's easy to remember the name of the church and just put online after it. And you tell them to go there and they could read and check out the webpage stuff and they could write us themselves and we'll be glad to help them and send them a Bible. Sometimes people, it's easy because it's free. Well, I'm going to request one for this one and that one. And that's okay. But we want to fine-tune sometimes some things. And I told the brethren, they say, look, you know, we got this man, want to be added to the mailing list. Well, how long you been working? Well, I met him today. And I said, well, share what you're mailing with him. And you talk with him for a while. Because many times we get him on our mailing list, and I'm inquisitive. I'm always talking to the brethren. You know, hey, brother, what about such and such? Oh, man, he's back over there getting tattoos, man, and sold his Bible that you sent him. I love you, and I appreciate you this morning giving me time to bring the gospel to you. But, brethren, Don't get haughty in the flesh. Don't get haughty in self. Don't get haughty in education. Don't get haughty in finance. Don't get haughty in accomplishments. What you do with the accomplishments and the things that you've gained is look up towards heaven and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm here for one reason, because of him. Brother Pike said that this ministry coming here to High Point, North Carolina, had to do with the conquering of death. And that goes to a state of mind, brother, and it goes to a state of mind, and we got to conquer the carnal mind of death, and it's got to be abolished. We could read about it, we could talk about the abolish the death of his works, but it's going to have to become your works and your labors to abolish death. And that's why you mortify it every single day. That's abolishing death in a present day truth and a revelation. You can talk about what he did and not ever do it yourself and think that because he done it, that you're okay. He done it and gave you power after he done it. He abolished death and came back and gave you power. Not to just speak in tongues or to dance a little bit or shout. He gave you the power to conquer and to be an overcomer. And the reason you're doing it is for the others could have life the same reason he done it. Because he was the firstborn of many brethren. You are the brother of the Lord. He hasn't held anything back from you. He gave you everything that pertaineth unto life. And you've got the ability and the power to show the people in the earth a present-day truth or a revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You ain't going to do it with your head knowledge. You ain't going to do it with your beautiful ability to be an orator and a speaker. You're going to do it by sacrifice, the same thing that he done. And then you're going to resurrect through the ashes, and you're going to resurrect through it. Amen? You see, people look at things differently, and one of the greatest acts of Christ and God that I've witnessed in the earth was Brother Atlee Beachy in suffering, laying there when it would be like, curse God and die! Curse him and die! You gave your life for God! You served him, you worked, you labored, you sacrificed your family, and here you are! Your legs are swollen up, they're bleeding and oozing blood! Just curse him! Curse God and die! You see? But he looks up and he says, glory be to my Jesus. He's been so good to me, I got no problems. What was speaking? It was Christ in him, the hope of glory. He wasn't going to look at the failure of the flesh, the failure of that thing going back to the dirt or back to the dust. He was looking up towards heaven, testifying God in suffering. That's Christ. That's God. Brother Pike done the very same thing. He'd be laying hands and praying for people that had a boo-boo. And he had things in his body that were eating him and destroying him. And he never one time looked at them and said, oh, poor me. Never one time looked at it. He said, man, praise God. Amen. And he testified the Lord. His eyesight fell in as a man from diabetes in his body. And he would come out. And one day I was handing him something and he reached. And I put it in his hand. And his eyesight would come and go because of diabetes. He said, man, what kind of man of God was that? One of the most powerful that ever walked the earth. And anybody think outside of that realm is the same reprobate that stood there at the foot of the cross looking up at Jesus. Hey, if you're who you say you are, bring yourself down. But he was there for you. Brother Pike showed the glory of God, the praise of God, the power of God, the mind of God, the strength of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God. He showed it on a daily basis. And when he came down to the close of his life, he kept the same thing showing it forth in suffering. Not in provision, not in great accomplishment, not in 80 acres. He showed it in the body that he continued to testify and praise God all the way through. God has his way, brethren, in both. And you got to learn that when suffering and affliction comes to you, that you need to keep the same mind of revelation and be rejoicing in the Lord. That he gave you the strength, just as he did Job, to suffer. Amen. And not curse God. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Let's give the Lord a hand, saints of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. We need to fall in love with Jesus over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. Our Lord is good. Amen. You have an opportunity, brethren. You got a certain number of days. Say, I'm eternal in the heavens, Brother Rob. I ain't numbered with days. Well, let me rephrase then to the rest of you. You are using a tabernacle right now that has to go through a metamorphosis and a transfiguration to be made into the immortality, to be made into the celestial. That body's got to go through a change. But right now, until that time, appointed time in God, that it is a once and for all thing, we're all of them together, the ones that have gone into the dirt, the ones that are laying there, you know, we consider sleep, they're all going to be changed in that moment, twinkling of an eye. And until that time, you got to realize that that body has a number of days to it. You say, well, I could do like Enoch, and I could set my faith and walk with God and be not. And I say, yeah, yeah, and amen. I'm with you 100%. Praise God. But while you're doing that and speaking about that, you remember that this body's aging. Amen. I don't like to talk about that part because it sounds like a lack of faith. But brethren, my faith ain't in this body. It ain't in this flesh. It ain't in the Son of Man part of me. It's in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. So I'm going to allow that quickening spirit and that mind of the Lord Jesus Christ to be unveiled in this body of mortality and darkness, light being formed within the darkness. And this formed light inside of me is going to have to pursue out. And through the transformation realm, I could bring this man upright and not testify to the self and to the importance of self and glorify God in this kingdom all the time, and then that body will see the metamorphosis or the transfiguration. But some of you have hope in the changed body or winning the redemption body or the transfiguration or the rapture without no transformation, no sacrifice, no mortification to you as a man or a woman. I know I always seem like I'm preaching to man, but I preach to mankind, and the women fall in the same category. Amen. The men need to take their rightful place in their households and their homes to lead and teach and love their wives and lead them into these things. Well, that's your responsibility, preacher. No, she become one with you. Right. Amen. And I'm entrusting you as my brother and my friend, as a Conrad, to love your wives and to bring them into the kingdom of God. When you see your wife in another mind, when you see her in another mind, it's your obligation to do something about it. It don't matter how much she wants to fight you. This flesh here, supposed to be the bride of Christ. You see, it's got another way in another mind. Oh, I want to call it the bride of Christ. A woman say, well, I want to be, you know, Miss Coons, Miss Whitlow, Miss Chapman, Miss Gilbert. Come on, brother. You know, yeah, we got to become one. So if she becomes one with you and you ain't in Christ, you're leading your wife to hell. Let's be one together, brethren, and unified in one mind and one accord. And all glory, praise, and honor goes to Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this morning. I appreciate again the time. I trust, brethren, that I want to commend you. Yesterday we had an awesome day out here. A lot of accomplishment. We got a lot done. And I thank you for that. Brother Ed commended Pete, got this little building and things done out there. Brother John's going to get it pressure washed and sealed up here in the next few days. We're going to keep on clearing, get the property. I walked out past yesterday after we got done, came out, stirred the fires a couple times last night, and I went back up. Boy, there's a lot of wood out there on the ground, a lot of cleanup yet. If we can continue to take a group of us, start trying to commit a day to the Lord, we get out here and get some of these things finished and done. Got a lot of work to do. I think of the things in my heart that I got to get accomplished. Things right here just on these properties. I know we got a beautiful picture of a church back there. But it could stop right there, or we could bring it through faith and bring it to a fruition. We can make it come to pass. We've got the abilities, we've got the skill, we've got the knowledge, we've got the know-how. You say, all you need is some money. We built this one broke. You're sitting in a church today. We started out broke, and when we got done, we were still broke. But it just come up out of the ground, amen. By faith, we got a piece of property. Well, we got to put a building on it, it ain't worth the count. Next thing, we had a backhoe sitting out here that a brother felt in his heart to rent for a month. So we started digging. Amen. Started removing trees first, didn't we, Brother Ed? Let me tell you about a lot of mines. Oh, we need to get us a big bulldozer out here and a cat and push this stuff down and do this and that. But we didn't have none of that. Oh, man, but you guys were just little faith. No, we had men that were willing with a mind to work, and we went out here with chainsaws and cleared it the hard way like we're doing now. Oh, it'd be easy to get a cat out there and just push all that junk down, push it up in a big pile. Amen, but we had a good time yesterday, didn't we?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
all right, let's sing a song, brother.
Everything.
I love the Lord.
Jesus is,
I know you
my
do.
All.
You're a wonderful family of God.
He is my.
Let's bring somebody into this kingdom. Let's win a soul.
Both
amen.
Great and small.
I'm going to probably be out of town next weekend. I expect you to be in church.
He made everything new. Jesus is my everything. So how
I got several prisons. I don't know how many I'm going to be able to do. Maybe just a couple. I'm going to try to go and encourage some brethren. I'm not sure exactly which way, what direction. I know for sure one that I'm going to go to on Saturday or Sunday. Have an opportunity to be back in one on Friday. I haven't got clarity from the Lord if I'm going there yet. And got an opportunity there. We'll just see. I'm not moved by opportunities. I've had many doors opened up that looked like it was open for the gospel, looked like it was open for ministering, opening for this. But God say, nah. A lot of doors open. Darrell had many doors open before he came up here. He had churches going to pay for his complete college, sent him to college. Had another church and a pastor put him up in his home, wanted him to help him preach and teach there in that church. But he chose to come here.
Made everything new.
Maybe he came here thinking he's going to pastor this church. Y'all ready for him? So far, he's been subjecting himself to the council. He leaves heavy sometimes, just like you do. Sometimes he feels like a failure, just like you should in your first birth. But he's doing well. Amen. Honored to have him with us. I like to see men transforming in mind and thought, changing. You got weaknesses, you got iniquities. In your life, you say, oh, Jesus died for that and took them all away from me. I say, I know what Jesus done, but somewhere you got to exercise dominion over those things yourself. Action, fruit, substance. All right, let's sing.
Everything.
I love you and appreciate
Jesus
you.
Jesus is my all.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you truly sing that song from your heart? That He is your everything?
Both great and small.
When you make Him your everything and make Him your all, let me tell you something. That's when He can make you into a minister. That's when He can make you into a husband. That's when He can make you into a father. He's got to be your everything and your all. Amen. Amen.
How about you?
Hallelujah.
He is my everything. Jesus is my all.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, he made everything new.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, today's the first day of the week, isn't it? We're doing pretty good, Lord. We come to the house of God, amen. Yeah. Woohoo! I got nobody mad at me yet today, Lord. He ain't gone to breakfast yet or lunch. I guarantee you, man, I'm going to have the waitress upset with me in 15 minutes after I get there. God have mercy on you. The first day of the week, Brother Emmanuel. And I choose to worship the Lord and serve Him. Today's the day of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow's the day of the Lord.
Yes.
And the next day, the day of the Lord.
Amen.
When you meet your obligations to your families, to work and support them, let it be the day of the Lord. You see, Jesus could be testified on your job site. Jesus could be magnified and glorified and testified of in your actions. You know, sometimes the Lord might speak to you as a businessman, as a contractor, and say, just like he told Gideon, hey, put your swords down. Oh, but man, I know how to use this thing. He might ask you to just love them people and bless them. Don't charge them. Now, you can be carnal-minded and go do that tomorrow to your job and say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to submit what the pastor said. No, I'm talking about following the leading of God. You see, if Gideon would have just went and, you know, put his swords down and took a clay pitcher out there without the orchestration of God, he would have probably been killed. Do you realize that? Or at least some of them would have been killed, huh? But he listened to God. And you know, you say, well, I want to be a businessman, but I want my business to be God's business. Then that means that you're yielding to Him as the business owner. Not you. Not your great mind. Not your great understanding. And then He'll prove you by doing that. You see, the woman with the two mites, she gave her all. And you might be in financial need and you feel pressed to make an obligation to meet a need. It could be a light bill. It could be a house payment. It could be an insurance payment. It could be something and you feel pressed. But you hear God do like He did Brother George and said, look, take that $33,000 that you got and go buy some cattle with it. But Lord, I've got obligations. I'm already $67,000 shy of meeting this need. But He said, okay, this is your church. This is your kingdom. These are your brethren. This is your name. So I'm going to follow and submit to you. And He did, and God made a way. Amen. Where there appeared to be no way. It already seemed impossible, but He made the impossible possible. And God might to you. Brother David Paul, Brother George's son, wrote a little thing called the 25-cent miracle. And he only had a certain amount of money. He wanted to take his dad out, and he knew his dad had no money. But he didn't carry it. And he thought, I got this covered. And then his dad decided he wanted a piece of pie. If I remember right, I could stand corrected here. But regardless, it went over how much money he had. He needed 25 cents. And it inspired him to write a little article of a 25-cent miracle. I shared about the time I felt like it was a miracle of God when we couldn't get our lights on when we first rented a building. Never asked Brother Pike for a penny. He would have paid it in 5 seconds. If I would have called him and said, hey, we got a building, but I need to turn on the lights, they need $600 deposit. He would have had that to me before you could snap your fingers. He was the kind of man, if I would ask him for that, he would have maybe went to Brother Pete and said, Brother Pete, hey, could you run this up there to Brother Rob? He needs it up there right now. He probably would have wired it or something, but he would have got it to me. But that's the way the man thought, but I didn't ask him. But I went in by faith in the Lord, and I told you the story. The Lord said, go into that building right there, in that office right there. And they turned it on. for nothing. See, that was the Lord. I give him the glory and the power. I give him the honor. Oh, it's my great mind. No, it was him. I was walking out of a building a little bit disappointed, thinking, I thought with my kind words and this good-looking mug I got, I could have persuaded him up at the counter. See, y'all, relative to that, see, I got a smile out of your face. But the Lord said, go in there. Well, who's in there? Why you want to go in there? They done told me no out here. Why would I go in here, Lord? Why would I do this? They done told me no. There ain't no more we could do. I'm going to have to go call Brother George. I'm going to have to go do something. But I listened to the voice of God, and I went through the door, and it got turned on. That's a small miracle. I'd magnify the Lord in those little things. Man, I rejoice in the Lord. Because then he could do those little things, he could do the big things, but some of us don't exercise enough faith to back what I'm saying. You'd be out there on your job, oh, I need money, finance. The Lord says, why don't you help him today? I could share some stories with you in early years of ministry. Driving down the road in the car, the Lord said, stop and go to that door. And I did. I could share some things with you that would probably astound you right there of what took place. And I kept on listening to the Lord, and he kept commanding me to do this. And he kept commanding me to do what I did at that other door, and the other door, and the other door. And he was blessing me. Was blessing me. Substance, financially. I stepped out of the aviation business by faith to go into ministry. Had no means. I had big bills to pay because I was accustomed to making money. And I followed the Lord. Set some records in a sales company by praying and listening. He said, stop at this house. But then one day he said, no. And the lady done everything in her power to give me cash. She was trying to give me $600 cash. And I said, no. God told me not to take it. He said for me to come here and pray for you. She said, no, please. Because I prayed for her and she was touched by the Lord. And she wanted to show respect and honor me. And she wanted to give me this $600 cash. And I said, no, ma'am, I can't take it. I wasn't here for that. You see, that's the way you got to alter your course. You get out there and you're fame-minded, money-minded, business-minded, and you got your thoughts so stinking tuned in to you and your business and your success that you can't even hear God. Because of your carnal mind talking to you so much and telling you how to do it. Because you're a great man of entrepreneur. That you could do anything. And you never hear from God. As I told the ministers in Africa. I said, do you want to be congregation led or do you want to be spirit led? Oh, Brother John. I met a guy today at work. He's mother's brother-in-law, sister's cousin's aunt's nephew is in the hospital in Winston. Would you go pray for him? I might commission you to do such a thing one day. But it's real easy for you to orchestrate my day and my time, you lazy sluggard. Oh, you're so spiritual! Come on, preacher! If you're the kind of preacher I want to sit under, you need to go down there to that hospital. You need to drive 45 miles, and that's what you need to do. I said, well, no, God must have put it on your heart, you lazy, filthy sluggard. In the stench of your religion, maybe you should go and pray. Come on now. Amen?
Amen.
You see, I say things boldly, strongly, and insultingly for a reason. It's always on somebody else's dime. Always on somebody else's back. Always on somebody else's benevolence. Always on somebody else's faith. Where are you at, son of God? Where are you at, man of God? Where are you today? You need to exercise dominion and power and authority in the earth. And you need to take the land, amen, by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not in the confidence of the Son of Man, but in the Son of God, amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give him a hand. Amen. You put too much confidence in everything but the power and the Spirit of God in our life. Amen. Let's play another song. Amen. Hallelujah. How you doing, young lady? Isn't it awesome to be numbered with the children of God today? I won't beat up your husband for you, but I'll help you. I'll hold it. You come on up here.
We've got the power.
Satan rages, we will not be defeated.
Lord, just put a couple of my grandchildren on her heart that have departed the faith, left this work. She won't stand in for prayer for them. And she said all the young people that raised up around here that have departed this. Too much social media, too much religion, too much rubbing elbows with the Baptists and the Methodists. Oh, these people love the Lord. And then they look at some of our brethren here that have failed us. Well, these people are better than that. You know, this brother was a whoremonger. This brother was this brother was that. Uncertain sounds. We've got a powerful brotherhood here. Let's pray. Let's set our faith and believe. I pray for them often. You can't leave this and depart it, thus saith the Lord, and make it into the kingdom. Are you saying if they leave Christian Temple, they'll go to hell? I'm saying it's not Christian Temple, the mind of revelation, the mind of faith in God, the mind that taught the purity of the gospel of Christ, and the mind that went forth this morning to kill you and let him live. Amen. But they depart that, and the other religions magnify that mind of man, that mind of pride, that mind. They're the ones that ordain the businessmen of America. The ones that are making money and supporting church, they ordain them and make them deacons in the churches. And the deacons are controlling the direction of the church and the pastor. That don't happen here. We have men's meetings. We all come together in one mind and unity. And your input is very needed and very important. Many times, because I heard God speak through different men, we altered the course and changed it. Amen? That's why we have the meetings. We're listening for the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. So let's all bow our head and pray with this sister that evidently God's put it on her heart for these children. Wonderful kids, beautiful kids. That have so much skill and ability. They could do so much for the Lord. But they chose themselves and made their own self their own kingdom. They made themselves their own God. They submitted to their own mind and followed after their will and their pleasures and their flesh. We got some that sit with us and are here faithfully in church that are in the same mind, sad to say. But the fruition of that mind led them out. Took them out from under subjection to the counsel of God, walking in and savoring the things of their mind, their world, and their flesh. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, I thank you for a sister that has raised up here, committed herself, made herself faithful and loyal to this work, and continues on. I thank you for young ladies like this, Lord God, that could show others and be an example. As her dear friend Rebecca, another grandchild, has chose to do the same. Even though the counsel of much of her family would be different. And has rejected this word, this kingdom, and our Christ, but made a stand. And fathers, these two ladies here have made this stand before these others. Father, I thank you for them. I praise you, Lord God, and I know it's got to be you and you alone. And I honor you, Lord God, that you've put something in their hearts to stand and on the day of adversity to continue to stand. And when they've done all that they can to stand, that they continue to stand. I thank you for that, Lord God. I thank you for blessing these sisters, Lord, with men that'll stand and commit and stand strong. I thank you for that, Lord God. And Father, as her heart is crying out because of these schoolmates and friends and what she considered even to be family to her, have departed the faith and gone the way of the world. Lord God, thank you, Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to convict them, to make their lives miserable, Lord God, to blow on their substance. Lord God, shake them. Oh God, shake them. Shake them, Lord God, that they'll repent, Father God, and they'll come to the house of God with a true, genuine heart of repentance, and they'll turn back to you, Lord God, and they'll serve you with all their heart, Lord God, and all their mind. Father, we've seen you bring prodigals back before, Lord God, and made them into great, great men of God and children of God. And that's what we're asking you to do this morning, Lord God. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray by faith and we pray with a believing heart. And Lord God, it's beyond our means and our power and our ability, Lord God. And we're leaning on you this morning, Father, and asking you to move, Father, in whatever means necessary, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Randy. Love you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Whitlow came to me yesterday and he said, Brother Rob, he goes, I want you to pray that God will kill me if I drink another cup of coffee. And I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. I've done that before. And they died. And it was about smoking. But when they came for a prayer request, they said, it doesn't matter, whatever means it takes. I say, you sure? They said, yes, I'm sure. I want to quit smoking. And it don't matter by any means. I said, are you sure about that? Because I said, you ain't going to like the way I pray. So I prayed and I said, Lord, if they smoke another cigarette, kill them. Manny reminded me about 5-6 years later. He said, you killed your sister, Brother Rob. I said, thank you, brother. Appreciate you reminding me of that. I didn't kill my sister, Brother Rob, Brother Emmanuel. She asked me to pray a prayer of any means. And maybe somewhere I thought that by faith in God that she had enough confidence and faith to come to me as a minister, her brother, little brother, to say, man, pray for me, man. I believe in the prayer of a righteous man. It avails much, and it did. Did she go to hell? I leave that with him. You say, what do you think, Brother Rob? Don't matter what I think. There's some I think deserve to be there that won't be. Come on now. You know why I say that? Because I ain't going to be there and I deserve to be there. Amen. You deserve to be there. And I trust and believe you won't be there. I have faith in that. So I think I got a good righteous understanding of the mind of Christ. I'm not the first preacher to ever pray a prayer like that. And I hope I won't be the last.
Amen.
But brother, we're more than conquerors. If the brother wants to quit coffee, you know what he'll do? He'll quit coffee. If a brother wants to quit smoking, you know what he'll do? He'll quit smoking.
Amen.
There ain't nothing got no dominion over us, no power over us if we're sons of God. If you smoke, the only reason you do because you like to.
That's right.
If you drink, the only reason you drink because you like to. You got to hate it. You got to come to hate it. And if it's something that's causing a problem in your physical body, you should hate it. Because that's the temple of the Lord.
Right.
You know, how many people just slip up your hand real fast to drink milk? Okay, praise God. We got many milk drinkers in here. Thanks. Praise the Lord for that. But you know, some people drink milk. They got lactose intolerance.
Yep.
And they get sick. Well, I would say, hey, dummy. Quit drinking milk. Some people got peanut allergies. You know what? Stink and leave the planters alone, man.
Yeah.
I'll take care of them for you. Send them to the old fat boy. Come on. Amen. See, brethren, you know, we have to understand and deal. If we go into the Old Testament, there was a lot of doctrine in diet, what they could and couldn't eat, and there was a reason for it. Oh, but we're New Testament doctrine. The sheet came down, man, give me some pork. Okay, praise God, I eat pork too. I'll smoke some for you. You know, but let's don't be stupid.
Yeah.
You know
Thank
what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's some things that affect different people differently.
Yes.
One medication will help you, and that same medication will kill somebody else. You realize that? Shoot me full some insulin. It might kill me. But it might bring you life. Amen? Brother, we're spiritual people. We're led by the Spirit of God. And we learn to make adaptions and adjustments. I'm not going to cater to this man, but I'm going to understand him enough that he could be utilized for the glory of God. If I cater to this man, it would probably be another soul never saved through this vessel. But I'm not going to cater to this man. I'm going to make sacrifices, Brother Ed. And I watch you, brethren, make sacrifices. God is moved by that. God is moved by your sacrifice. He was moved by the sacrifice of his own son to bring salvation to the entire world. You're his son. You're a son of God. And when he sees you sacrifice your will, your mind, your wants, your wishes, your ways, your ambitions, then he'll get involved in them. And whatever you sacrificed, he'll give it to you for all of eternity, and he'll make it strong. Amen. He said when you give houses, he'll add them back to you. When you give businesses, he'll bring them back to you. Brethren, that's where I found the key to success. It was in Christ and Christ only. In closing, Brother Pike said, give yourself rich or keep yourself poor. It's just a fancy saying, praise God. It's a revelation that's hid from many. They'll never come to it. They'll never come to it. Here's the way man thinks, Sister Randy. Well, you know, if I use this great entrepreneur of mine, man, one of these days I'll get rich, then I'll bless the kingdom. You'll never get there. I promise you, thus saith the Lord, God is going to continue to blow and to blow and to blow and to blow on your substance. You'll look like you got something going great and it'll fall apart because he is going to do that because you've put another God before him. Amen. So when you think, like the man said, you know, if I get this $100,000, pray for me, preacher, I'm going to give half of it to the church. The pastor had enough wisdom, said, how much money you got now? $40. He said, well, give me $20. The guy bowed up. We don't pass an offering plate in this church. The man comes in visiting. Hey, Brother Rob, I got one thing to find fault with you for. Say, you don't take up an offering. He just wanted to find fault. He's doing exactly what he wanted to do. And I said, well, here, give me one. And he starts crawfishing, backstepping. You know? I knew the spirit of it. Well, go ahead and give me one then. Talking about man. All right. Thank you again for adequate time. I love you and appreciate you. Thank you for the altar services. Thank you for praying for grandchildren. Amen. These are your family, brothers and sisters. You look at me and say, poor Brother Rob. I say, no, this is your family. That's the way she came in altars. She didn't come petition the throne of God for my grandchildren. She said, these are my friends. These are my brothers. They were part of this thing. See, that's a heart after God. And that's what you need, and that's what I need. Amen. What's up, Brother Josh? Yes, sir. Let's pray. He said, the Lord's put it on his heart, standing for my son. He said, well, he's in church now, Brother Ron. A lot of people in church have got problems, brother. I spoke about him in this service of a man I'm dealing with that can't see. Absolutely blind to certain things. You see, maybe they could see, have 20/100 vision. Maybe another has 20/80. Maybe another has 20/60. Maybe one has 20/20. And when you got 20/100, there's a lot of things you're not seeing. I put these glasses on. I can find that wild hair growing out my nose and fix it before I come to church. If I didn't have these glasses on, man, no telling. I might have a Fu Manchu growing out of there, huh? Come on now. So when we're talking about praying for somebody, you say, well, you're praying like he's a failure. Brethren, we all need to perfect and press into greater things. And there are hindrances in the young man's life. Great potentials to do really something great for God. But there's a member in his flesh that's in the way. He don't see it. I try to expose it to him, and then I find sometimes drawing back. Sometimes may not call me for a couple weeks, but sometimes I'm going to still speak. There's been times that my son broke fellowship with me. and departed for months and even years because of correction and reproof. He's got a pastor now, and I'm trusting, praying and believing, but we're still concerned. We still pray. I appreciate the brothers standing for him. Amen. He could do more standing firm than I can. Why is that? Because I prefer my brother greater than myself. And I appreciate people that put not just my children on their heart. I'm talking about your children. I pray for your children. Brother Ed right here is a fine man. I love him. He's my brother. You know, he's got a son named JR. I love him too. And he's my little brother too. But it's just not Brother Ed and Sister Sheila that's praying for JR or with his wife. I am. And I trust you are too, because this is your family. Amen? It's your family, brother. Father, as I pray for this, my brother, I thank you that you put it on his heart, Lord God. And Father, again, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, Lord God. And I look at the righteousness within a brotherhood, Lord God. And I know that we can petition your throne, Lord God, and you grant our petitions to us. And Father, as you've taken him and put him in a church where he's subjected to the counsel of a man of God, Father, let that man of God use wisdom and counsel from heaven, Lord God, to mold and perfect this boy. Lord God, that he'll get fine-tuned, Lord God, and get skillful in hearing from heaven. That he could learn to differentiate between his mind and your mind, his ambitions and your ambitions. Lord, as he's led by will of ambition, Lord, let him be led by the will of God. Father, I thank you, Lord God. And Father, as this young man that I'm standing proxy right now is seeking the good for another man, Father God, as he does that, then you seek his good, Lord God. Because that's the message he's been sitting under. When he gets out of the concern for self, gets concerned for others, that you get concerned for him. So Lord, it may not be one prayer and an altars, but it's a daily life and activity. Lord, that we have control of the heavens. And Father, honor this kind act of this man. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. He is my everything and he is my all. Amen. We'll get Brother Pete to dismiss us. I love you and appreciate you. The Lord bless you.
Father God of heaven, we're so grateful, Father, for your word, God, that you would love us enough, Father, to send your word. Father, we thank you, Father, for the spirit that was here today. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, let your presence go with us, Father, as we, Father, venture out today. Father, helps to be a testimony where we go. God, give us the strength. Father, fill us with your spirit. Father, give us your mind. Father, fill us with your humility. Help us to make a difference between that which would be a confession of a man or a confession of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. God, give us the wisdom to know the difference. Help us to be sensitive. God, help us to grow in a greater love and, Father, great mercy. Father, that we have mercy on others. Father, help us to forgive. Father, help us to not have animosity. Father, unforgiveness, bitterness, God, hatred or anger in our hearts. God, reveal it to us. Father, whether it be something from the past, Father, or something in the present, Father, or even something in the future, Father, help us to overcome these things that we can have your grace and your mercy. Fill us with your joy and your spirit and your love. Lord, we love you and we give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.